superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Call strike three. The Dodgers win.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan. Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen. Good Morning Football co-host Kyle Brandt. Green Bay Packers receiver Devontae Adams. Plus, actor Carl Weathers. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
See, needed to happen for T.J. Jefferson to make a putt to start a show was the Dodgers to win the World Series. I mean, we've been waiting since 1988 for T.J. Jefferson to make a putt. Our social media grandmaster is always kicking us off or putting us off here on the Rich Eisen Show on our triple cast on PeacockTV.com or however you wish to stream us on Peacock, on NBC Sports on Peacock. We welcome our audience here today. Sirius XM Channel 211 and then the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Headlined by the mightier 1090 throughout all of Southern California and to all the Dodger fans that have been waiting since 1988, waiting for that moment, waiting to finally say we are the champions, waiting for the moment where the trapdoor does not open on your team in October. Congratulations to you. I know a lot of you, and I know a lot of you are very excited, and I say congratulations to you, and then to Chris Brockman across the way, and Mike Del Tufo, good morning and to you here.
Hey, Rich. Hey, buddy, what's up?
And then, of course, I tried my best with Rob Manfred the other day to get the Mookie Betts trade reversed and
I appreciate
have
that.
It go back for the Boston Red Sox.
I appreciate that.
We saw last night the reason why the Dodgers went out and acquired him, why he's so darn valuable. And there's so many different ways to start to talk about that World Series game and World Series game six night about Blake Snell being removed and pretty much everything up until the eighth inning. And I know Blake was removed in the sixth, but up to the eighth inning when Justin Turner was taken out of the game. And that's where I'd like to start because, as we all know, we live in a pandemic and we'd like to forget about it. We'd like to forget about it. We'd like to forget about it and go back to life the way that we want to live. But the virus keeps on reminding us that the virus is in charge. Certainly in this country it is, more than most on this great planet of ours. And, you know, we wake up this morning, find out that the Texans facility is closed on a bye week as a Texans player has tested positive for COVID-19. So the Texans are on a bye week, but somebody has tested positive there and the Texans facility is closed. We learn about an hour ago that Wisconsin football, with the Big Ten not really having any room to maneuver starting late in October, and the schedule is what it is, and they don't have the back-end capability that the NFL has of let's just keep adding dates on in mid-December. And Wisconsin announcing, in light of their talented quarterback testing positive the other day in Graham Mertz. I'm getting the exact number. There is no exact number just yet, but multiple players have now tested positive and staff members, including the coach Paul Christ. He has tested positive for coronavirus, and Wisconsin has paused its activities. Its game with Nebraska is on hold. Who knows when Wisconsin football is going to be back, and then what happens with the Big Ten schedule? Who knows? Who knows? Virus is everywhere, people. Virus is everywhere. And we need to be smart about it. And that's why it was really disturbing to me that in the aftermath of this World Series to hear that one of my favorite players in all of baseball and a friend of this program, he's been calling in for years, And a lot of baseball players don't call into radio shows and television shows. They just don't. Because they don't have to, or they don't want to, or what have you. But Justin Turner is called into the show. He's called into the show during playoffs after hitting home runs in the playoffs on his way to the stadium the next day. Giving of his time, giving of his charitable time in this city of Los Angeles. And he represents so much to so many Dodger fans. A self-made man. Not a high draft choice. Not a prospect that was in demand. Not a free agent that was in demand. But what he has built himself into here in Los Angeles. I know we're all talking about Clayton Kershaw finally getting that ring. But Justin Turner finally getting that ring is huge. I mean, in terms of position players that the Dodgers put out there every single day, he represents the Dodger blue for so many people in this town more than most. So when we find out that he was removed from the game in the eighth inning, which is odd. Why would you remove one of your best players? And certainly a guy that you want on the field to celebrate. I mean, if they're going to close this thing out in the way that Urias was dealing, you could see it. That the Dodgers were going to close this thing out. And certainly when Betts gave that extra insurance run with a home run in the eighth inning, you just knew it was happening. Felt it. Why would Justin Turner not be on the field? You find out he was removed from the game because he had tested positive for COVID-19. And my first thought was, how in the hell are tests not back, reported, buttoned up before anybody is allowed to take the field in a World Series game or any game? I mean, we hear about it in the NFL. It's not like somebody's been pulled from the third quarter of an NFL game. He's got COVID-19 because the tests come back now, day of the game. Everybody's clear. Go. Best we can tell, everybody's free of the virus on that field today. Go. And obviously, we don't know about incubation periods. We're already hearing about this kid from Wisconsin might have been shedding the virus during the game last week. I mean, we don't know. But that's my first thought, is how in the world is Major League Baseball not on top of this situation? I find out by reading about it that they're still sending their tests to the facility in Utah that, you know, earlier in the season was getting it late and sometimes it was off. But everything had been running just fine in the playoffs, and it had been a couple months since a player tested positive for COVID-19 in baseball. So we're hearing it in a bubbled up environment that somebody has to be removed in the eighth inning of a World Series clincher. How is that possible? So that's what I'm thinking. And then, you know, because it's time to put the kids to bed and we turn the television set off in our house. But I am trying to stay up to speed on things because I know I got to talk about it the next day. And I look down at my Twitter feed and I see people saying Justin Turner's out on the field celebrating. I'm like, that can't possibly be. Guy just tested positive for COVID-19. How's he out there? I understand wearing a mask. And I'll be honest with you. The first thing I thought to myself was, I'm seeing all of the scientists and doctors out there on various forms of media saying that the mask is more effective than anything else. And that if they could choose, I heard even a doctor on CNN this morning say, if the doctor could choose between a vaccine that is only 75% effective and you're in the same room with someone with COVID-19, you could choose the vaccine or you could choose the mask. Doctor said, I'll choose the mask. That's the most effective thing you can do. So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, because I like to think the positive in everybody. And I'm sitting there thinking, I totally understand why Justin Turner, this moment has been, this city's been waiting since 1988. He has represented this city more than anybody else since he's been in this city. His wife is there. I get it. How in the world is he going to sit in a room wondering if this has been a false positive or not? He could have been told to his face, no, it's been confirmed. You have it. You need to stay here. And then I thought to myself, I can understand why he wouldn't want to be there. But then I saw he took his mask off. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the hell is now happening? What in the hell is now happening? As he's sitting next to the World Series trophy that he rightfully called out the commissioner for calling a piece of metal when Manfred did not take the World Series championship away from the Astros that the Astros won at the Dodgers' expense with what we believe nefarious means. As Turner was basically, it means more. And so I understand it means that much to him. Is he sitting next to his manager without a mask? And I'm thinking, oh my God, what the hell is happening? Dave Roberts, as we know, is a cancer survivor. And both of these guys have been on this show talking about the importance of a protocol and how important it is. And they understand the seriousness of this. But it's the spur of the moment. And they're all celebrating. And I'm looking at this photograph that's on the screen right here, which is the team all arm in arm celebrating the moment that they've all been waiting for. And this photograph, no doubt, will be a photograph that I pass by in Dodger Stadium the rest of my life as I take my kids to that stadium. Because I love taking them there. And they love going there. And I love baseball. And all I'll be thinking is, that guy was COVID positive sitting next to the trophy. And I hope I don't look at that photograph in a much different light if this is, in fact, a super spreader. And other people get it and get sick and get hospitalized. And potentially, God forbid, even worse. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the hell isn't Major League Baseball basically telling Justin Turner, there's a car waiting for you, go home. Sorry, I know you want to be here with your teammates, but you can't. We have to be the adults in this room. You know, how the hell did that happen? I'm trying to be understanding of the situation. I'm trying to be. But you are a corporation in America, and I don't care if anybody out there is thinking the virus means nothing, we're rounding the corner, all this garbage that you're hearing right now, and it is garbage.
Yeah, it's not true.
It is garbage. The place where Major League Baseball is sending their tests, the state of Utah, is overrun by this virus right now. Hospitals, ICUs, overrun in that state of Utah. But at any rate, I'm trying to be understanding of it. But it is the most Major League Baseball thing, that a crowning moment that they should be proud of to get through the season that we didn't think was going to happen, and that I was one of many that was railing on baseball to get their you-know-what together to make it happen, because the NHL was making it happen. The NBA was making it happen. We all assumed the NFL was going to make it happen, that baseball couldn't be left behind, that they finally did make it happen. And here they were. We had the commissioner on Monday. Hey, you're getting set to hand out the trophy. How amazing is that? Would you have signed for it? Yes. How in the hell was the testing not buttoned up before the game? And how in the hell is a COVID-19 positive person, if you are a face front major corporation in America, and again, people think the virus might not be as bad or for real or whatever, you, if you are lucky enough, and I hope you are, to have a place to go to work, you try and go in an office and see how that works without a mask, without this, without... Everybody's got protocols. Fox News has protocols. Fox News has people who are telling you the virus isn't serious broadcasting their shows from their house. How do you let somebody go on the field without a mask? You know, when I drove to work today, I promised myself I wasn't going to come across and wave a finger and tisk, tisk, tick, tisk, tisk, tisk. I don't want to. I was ready to come in today and just rail on analytics. We'll get to that.
I mean, I'm waiting for that, too.
Well, it's coming. I mean, we might as well get to that. I mean, because Jeff Passan's going to join in. The questions I want to ask him is, how the testing, how is that not buttoned up? And then how was Justin Turner allowed back on the field? That is controlled by Major League Baseball, right? Right?
Yep.
And the Dodgers might be like, he's one of our brothers. We're not leaving him behind. And I get it. I totally understand that. We're not leaving him behind. We'll all get COVID for Justin. Honestly, they probably are sitting there thinking, we don't know if the test is right or wrong.
Right.
What are we going to do? Just tell him to sit in a room while we're all out here?
And I totally
So I totally understand that.
Totally get that.
So, but how does Major League Baseball not just say, there is a car waiting for you. You've got to get in it, Justin. We cannot have you out on the field. I know it stinks. I know it stinks. You've been waiting for this, but you are COVID-19 positive. We cannot have you out on the field. You cannot do it.
Can't do it.
And I love the guy. I'm so conflicted. It's Jeff Passan when he joins us in about 10 minutes' time. Another thing I want to hit on with him is obviously how the Dodgers won the game. Which, by the way, had they not won the game, would there be a game 7 tonight? I doubt it. Everyone would have to test positive for a few days in a row, negative a few days in a row to get make sure everybody's clear. Go back to your corners. You know, would have been entirely possible that everyone would have been healthy and rested. You know, Charlie Morton would have been on like 19 days rest. I know that's an exaggeration. But at any rate, how the Dodgers won this game. Because this is something that's going to last forever, too. And, man, I'll tell you what. Watching Blake Snell deal last night, I was getting set to say to, you know, I texted you a photograph of me watching the game with Coop.
Loved
Zan
it.
Comes in the room, my 9 and 12, my Taylor comes in every now and then. And so I was literally beginning to think, this is a classic World Series moment pitching.
Oh, man.
Like, this is a classic moment, guy dealing and whatever. And I thought to myself, you know, left-hander dealing in a World Series game, John Smoltz in the booth. I honestly thought of Andy Pettitte, Game 5 of the 1996 World Series, which was so special to me, similar to Dodger fans. I was waiting my entire, you know, I was waiting 20 years, not as long as Dodger fans, but waiting 20 years for the Yankees to win the World Series again. And here was 1996, and it looked like that they were going to potentially have the best shot. Obviously, it's Game 5, a pivotal Game 5. And Pettitte was going against Smoltz. And I thought to myself, maybe this is their moment to watch this, even though they're not as invested in the Rays as I was, obviously, in the Yankees. And I stopped myself because I'm like, nobody goes deep into games. But maybe this is the guy that goes deep into games, because here he is entering the sixth inning, less than 70 pitches. And Austin Barnes gets a hit, ninth place hitter. And Mookie Betts comes to the plate. And out comes Kevin Cash. And I thought to myself, they're not really going to do this here now. Third time through the order, because that's Mookie Betts leading off. Third time they're facing. And I'm thinking, he's not going to do this just because it's what they do. There's got to be some guts. There's got to be some feel. There's got to be to understand this is the guy who's their Cy Young. This is the guy who can get them the game 7 by going deep, just like Andy Pettitte did back in the day, 1996, up 1-0. Left-hander, big game, needing to win it. They're not going to just take him out and lift him. They did. And I tweeted out, you know what? I will never get this. I don't care that it's worked for them before. It worked for them in Game 7 when they lifted Charlie Morton to get to the World Series. I just won't get it. I'll never get it. And analytics, man. And then in somebody who's clearly well-respected, because I, you know, Daryl Morey follows him. You know how on Twitter you could say, you know, followers who follow this person?
Right.
An analytics fellow who I've never met before, you know, rails at me for blaming analytics, because there are some analytics that Kevin Cash could have followed in this moment to keep Blake Snell in the game.
Right.
Which is Mookie Betts' OPS against lefties far worse than it is against righties.
And
we know that he brought a righty in.
Owned him in the World Series.
Well, I mean, not just that. Those are the analytics of our youth, which is lefty, lefty, righty, righty. Right. You know, like that. There have been analytics before. I'm not saying that this is a new advent, but the fact is, like, I have it right here. Blake Snell, his career hitters when they're facing him a third time through the order, career 247. But this year, in a small sample size, which is not 162 games and 30 something starts, 304 this season. When they saw him for the third time through the order. And he hasn't pitched six innings in a game since last July. Not this July, last July. Okay? And, you know, Betts is 200 against lefties. No home runs in 2020. I mean, we could go through the... So there are other analytics that Snell did. This guy basically said, Cash used the wrong analytics. In the same way that somebody who's going on guts and feel goes on the wrong gut and feel. And my sake is... My answer to that is, I'll still go with gut and feel being wrong instead of analytics because you're just being a robot. You're just being a robot. And sure enough, Snell's lifted, bring in Nick Anderson, who throws a million miles an hour, and Betts doubles off him. Second and third. Then a wild pitch, tie game. And then sharp ground ball to first base. Choi's a great first baseman. He can. I saw a split literally made me singing, going higher register. Okay, I mean, he's amazing. But Betts beats the throw home. And just like him, not only does he reach out with the stomach down, he then makes some sick maneuver that, like J.J. Watt jumping out of a pool, where he jumps up, doesn't put his hands in the ground, and just starts celebrating. He's amazing.
He's amazing.
He is a 5-tool, spectacular.
Free taco today.
Baseball player. That's true, too. But at any rate, so it doesn't work out in the moment, right? And I would rather go with gut and feel because it's more than just, well, the OPS is this and the average is that. It's more than that. This is a game of emotion. It's a human game. That's why we love it. Human error, but also human success. This is why we love it. This is why we love baseball. Because Snell is dealing. The other team gets a lift when you take him out. What's the analytics on that? What's the analytics on that? The other team gets a lift. They all said after the game, we weren't seeing Snell well. After the game, Kevin Kiermaier's like, I wanted to stay in. Snell could have basically done what Pettit did in 96, which is go 8 1/3 and hand it off to the closer and force a game in which you can win the World Series. Let me just go one more time on this, just to hammer it home, if you don't mind. Because I looked this up. Game 5 of the 96 World Series, and I'm sorry to Sarah to keep bringing it up because it was against the Braves.
Yes.
Okay. Yankees had won 2 games in a row after the Braves had won the first 2 games of that series. Mariano Rivera, who was at the time the guy who was setting up for John Wetland, the closer. Yes, kids. Mariano Rivera was a setup guy before he was the all-time great closer for the Yankees. He would come in the 7th inning, 8th inning. He had pitched an inning in Game 3 and an inning and a third the night before when Jim Leyritz homered off of Mark Wohlers in extra innings to force a Game 5. So maybe Joe Torre's sitting there thinking, I can't go to my guy, but it is still a Game 5, and it is 1-0. It is 1-0, and Pettit, who got bombed in Game 1, gave up 7 runs, is now pitching the game of his life against last night's analyst, who's terrific, John Smoltz. Go to the 6th, just like Blake Snell, up 1-0, the lefty, Pettit, gives up, just like Blake Snell, a hit. Who is the person who got the hit off of Pettit? John Smoltz. The 9-hitter. Smoltz led off with a single. What does Joe Torre do? Well, third time through the order, Marquise Grissom, who I guess was the Braves' bets. Marquise Grissom's leading off. What do? Third time through the order. That's it. Sorry, let's go. Got to go to my pen. Nope. Torre leaves him in. Guess what happens next? Grissom singles. First and second. Does Torre lift his guy now? It's third time through the order. There's 2 guys on. What happens? No. Next guy up, Mark Lemke, attempts to bunt him over. And that was one of the greatest defensive plays you'll ever see by a pitcher in the history of the World Series. Pettit leaps off the mound, goes to third, gets Smoltz out at third. Now it's first and second. Next up, Chipper Jones, double play. See ya. Out of the inning, and Pettit lasts to the 9th. If Torre had done what Kevin Cash had done, Yanks might not have ever won the World Series. Gut feel. Gut feel. Counts for something. Joe Buck said it perfectly last night when this was in full bloom as a conversation on Twitter and in his booth with John Smoltz. He said it perfectly. It seems like managers these days are looking for excuses to take the pitcher out rather than excuses to leave the pitcher in. Chef's kiss, Joseph. That's why you are who you are. And you've seen a ton of World Series, including the first one he called which was that game five in that World Series. First when he called for Fox, 96. He's seen a lot. I've seen enough. As a matter of fact, we have exclusive sound, Mike Del Tufo, right?
Yes.
Of Tampa Bay Rays fans throwing out Kevin Cash's binder, correct?
Yes.
Go, roll it.
I don't like this thing. And here's what I'm doing with it.
There it is. Kevin Cash's binder is George Costanza's toupee. Throw it out. I understand. That's you great. Like it. I understand it works for you. I understand you think it gets you what you want. I think you think it's successful. But I don't like it, and here's what I'm doing with it. Out the window.
Yep.
844-204-RICH, number to dial.
Rich, don't pull me.
Let's take a break.
Don't pull Del Tufo.
No, Mike, you're going the distance, man.
I'm in.
We'll take a break, and Jeff Passan of ESPN is going to join us from Texas. He knows everything about everything. 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
How do you banish high rates on car insurance? You switch to GEICO during GEICOween. October is their favorite time of year, and the folks over at GEICO have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to GEICO isn't so scary, especially when they could brew up spellbinding savings just for you. So get a quote today at GEICO.com and see how much you could save. No eye of newt needed. Happy GEICOween, everybody.
So Jeff Passan's about to join us in mere seconds. And then look what we've got lined up. Two stars of the NFL 2020 season. Davante Adams fresh off of his... He had 35 catches, right, in just the first half in Houston?
It certainly seemed like
I think
like
so.
It.
Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills quarterback, is joining us as he's getting set to take on the Patriots in a season where I said coming in, it was the Bills' year to take the AFC East. Kyle Brandt in between the two of them to talk some football, the host of... 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt podcast. He's also going to be joining us, obviously, from Good Morning Football. And look who's last up from, yes, Disney Plus is The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah.
But, of course, we all know Apollo Creed, right?
Just watched Rocky IV the other night.
Rocky IV?
Yeah.
Chubbs. Oof. Chubbs will be joining us. The great Carl Weathers. Great Carl Weathers. That's how we're rolling here. We're five wide here on this very busy, busy day. So, and then I guess my kids are happy because the Masked Singer's back on tonight.
Oh, yeah.
That was a pretty funny tweet. That
you fact. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our radio audience joining us on our Peacock audience as well. Chris Brockman, he's a tired man. Is he on the
phone
right now?
Yeah, I know. Jeff Passan's right now.
His article that can be found on ESPN.com entitled "The Oddest of World Series Ends with the Most 2020 Moment of the Season." That's the headline that was attached to Jeff Passan's remarkable game story. And the MLB insider from ESPN joins us from the state of Texas the day after that remarkable World Series ends. Jeff Passan, how are you, sir?
Rich, I am doing great. How are you, my friend?
I am well. I started the show talking about the game, taking it piece by piece, starting with the analytics drama that played out and then the Twitterverse exploding. I was part of all that. And then the way everything went from the eighth inning on. But I think that's the way we should start right now. And where does everything stand as to how Justin Turner tested the way that he did and the methods that the Major League Baseball powers that be took for it and how he wound up on the field, so on and so forth, Jeff?
So let's go through the timeline here, Rich. I think it starts with Monday's testing. So that's on the day of game five. And players, personnel, everybody inside the baseball bubble take one COVID-19 test per day. It's a saliva test, and it gets sent to this lab in Utah that Major League Baseball essentially retrofitted from a PED testing lab in order to be a COVID testing lab. They've done 200,000 tests over the course of this season, and those tests got sent out there. Now, one thing that I do not understand still is why the results from those tests came back as late as they did. Typically the tests have come back before the game, but the results from those tests on Monday did not make it back before Tuesday's game. And so in the second inning, Major League Baseball was informed that there was an inconclusive test with Justin Turner. It showed some signs that it may be a positive, but they weren't exactly certain. Around that same time, the tests from before Game 6, from Tuesday, had arrived in Utah. And instead of rerunning the test from the day before, they said, let's expedite the test from today and see what comes up. And that takes about 2 hours. So between the second inning and the seventh inning, that test was being run. And in fact, it did come back positive, at which point Major League Baseball called the Dodgers and said, pull Justin Turner off the field. He has tested positive for COVID-19. Now, at that point, Justin Turner, or any player who tests positive, is supposed to go into isolation and remain in isolation until he can essentially go home, which is kind of a tough thing to do because home is Southern California for him. So he was in a room away from his teammates and was supposed to stay there. And then the Dodgers won the World Series. And when the Dodgers won the World Series, Rich, he came out of that room, he went onto the field, and all of those photos that you've seen of Justin Turner not wearing a mask, sitting next to his manager, Dave Roberts, who's a cancer survivor who also wasn't wearing a mask, kissing his wife, you know, all these different things that run afoul of these ideas that Major League Baseball has been preaching ad nauseum for the last few months, came to fruition on the biggest stage possible and brought up a lot of questions that you have, questions that I still have.
Well, and you know, just recapping the way I started the show as well, I love Justin Turner, man. He's just he's a guy that is so easy to admire. He and his wife have just been so charitable with their time and with their efforts. He is the guy, I guess you would say, the position player that has been through the most with the Dodgers and is a self-made man. He has been, even with the Dodgers' postseason woes, he has been the consistent thumper for them. It would be horrible for the Dodgers to clinch the World Series and that he's not part of it, because he's told in the eighth inning, by the way, you are positive. And I would understand if players are like, well, could it be false? Could it be not? We got to have Big Red out here. So why not take it out of the Dodgers' hands? Why wouldn't Major League Baseball just basically say, sorry, Justin, we'll be the bad guy here? What happened there? How did that not happen, essentially?
I believe they tried to do that, and he essentially said no. and here's the thing. If you're Major League Baseball and you try to fine him, it's going to be under the coronavirus protocols, and it's going to be a pretty minimal fine. You're not going to suspend him without the MLBPA saying, oh, no, you don't, and probably winning that grievance. I don't know that there's a lot of recourse or repercussions here. And I think part of that illustrates how flimsy protocols can be if challenged. Nobody's really challenged them to this point, though, because you almost would look like a pariah for doing so. And I think in some quarters, Justin Turner has seen that way right now. But I also think that because it was the end of the season and the Dodgers were about to go and party, that the idea that after this month of being in the bubble, that after this year where they had to live like they never had before, and listen, that goes for all of us, Rich, so I'm not trying to say that baseball players in any way are unique, but they almost felt a sense of freedom. And the idea of them celebrating without Justin Turner didn't seem right to the players.
No, and I could understand. I could understand that point of view, Jeff. I really can.
And that, Rich, is sort of the thing that informed the story that I wrote today. Like, on a very human level, I understand the want and the desire to do that as well. It's extremely strong when you've spent your life dedicated to something, you finally achieve it, and you don't get to go out and celebrate it. But on the other hand, I put myself in that position, and I say, what would I do? And I think personally, my decision would have been that the joy that I get out of knowing that I did it is what I need. And as much as I want to be out there with them, celebrating with them, as much FOMO as there might be, it's a greater good thing here. And it's almost an example that baseball has said all year long in figuring out how to deal with these things and going almost two straight months without a positive test among players. And I have no idea how Justin Turner contracted coronavirus. I imagine it was not because he was running afoul of protocols, but to see him do it in as blatant a fashion as he did. Listen, Rich, if Justin Turner tested positive for COVID-19 and remained in isolation, I don't think we would be talking about it right now. And if we did, it would be Justin Turner tested positive. He went into isolation. We're concerned, because every human being should be concerned when there's one case that there could be an outbreak with the Dodgers. Let's hope there's not. Thin. We'll be over.
Yeah,
this is something that's going to linger.
Again, I mentioned at the top of the show, too, that this photograph of them celebrating with Justin Turner sitting next to the trophy without a mask on forevermore. You know, when I walk into Dodger Stadium with my kids, and I'll look at it and I'll think that was the end of the, you know, COVID-19 2020 season, and he was COVID positive. And I hope to God that we don't learn that this was a massive super spreader event that put somebody who was in that photograph in the hospital. And then we would look at this photograph completely differently forevermore, Jeff. And, you know, and I want to revel in the moment for this organization, which is filled with good people. And I don't want to wave a finger, but it's very difficult to look at all this and not think of it. And had Justin Turner not come back on the field, we would be sitting here and talking about what still needs to be talked about is, how did Major League Baseball not centralize the testing sitting there right next to the stadium? How do they not have some rapid testing? How did they not hire some firm in the Metroplex that was going to handle this? How are they still shipping stuff off to Utah when everything's going down and you need to be buttoned up before the first pitch of a game? Like, literally, whoever's in charge of the protocol had to be sitting there saying, we are rolling the dice, putting this team out there for game six without everything completely back and positive and, negative and checked off. Like, how the hell did that happen? You know?
I think the answer is this. If you have somebody who you trust because they know the way that testing has gone all year long, and you trust the accuracy, you trust the doctor involved, you trust everybody there, the instinct probably would be to stick with them and to stick with that lab. I do understand that instinct. And I think the rapid tests that you're talking about, which the Dodgers were supposed, I'm pretty sure they took them when they got back to the hotel early this morning. But I think that the rapid tests don't have nearly the sensitivity that the PCR tests that they ended up taking do have. And so because of that, I think they just stuck with the lab that got them there. Was that a right decision? Was that a wrong decision in hindsight? I think that's a fair thing to ask. And let's put it this way. Everyone was caught quite off guard, and there were a lot of very happy people, Rich, that the Dodgers came back and won that game. Because can you imagine what would have happened if Justin Turner had tested positive, the Rays had won, and Game 7 of the World Series was going to be postponed for at least 2 days, and depending on the number of other positive tests, could have been indefinitely just waiting around? And at what point then do you say, you know what, enough waiting, we need to get this thing done, and you Los Angeles Dodgers need to just put your best team that you can field out there and play for the championship? I mean, man, that would have been, this is a bad situation. That would have been a bad situation compounded.
No doubt. Jeff Passan, few minutes left with you. So let's get to the why the Dodgers did win game six. Obviously, Mookie Betts being a complete difference maker by hitting a double once Blake Snell was lifted. and then fast enough to cross the plate for the go-ahead run, even though the ball was hit directly to a slick fielding first baseman, and then providing the much-needed insurance run with a home run in the bottom of the eighth inning. That was truly remarkable stuff. We know, again, Seager getting the MVP award, but let's be honest, this is all going to be about the move that Kevin Cash made about lifting Blake Snell. The hindsight is crystal. It's not even 2020, you know, whatever's better, 2010. The hindsight is crystal on this. What do you think this means for analytics writ large, anything that you want to hit on this subject? I give you the floor on that, Jeff.
You know, I think Tim Kirchen spoke pretty eloquently about it. I don't know if you heard what he had to say.
I did not.
He essentially was saying that this is baseball run amok and that it's problematic. I don't disagree with Tim because I would have kept Snell in there just because I thought the quality of the stuff was still really sharp. But let's go back 24 hours earlier, Rich. The Los Angeles Dodgers are the Tampa Bay Rays with money. Now, they don't do quite as many, you know, you're not going to see a four-man outfield with the Dodgers, and because they have that money, they have Clayton Kershaw and a bunch of other, you know, starting pitchers. Granted, there are other starting pitchers, whether it's Julio Urias, Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin, Walker Buehler don't make a whole lot of money, and they haven't because they've drafted and developed really well. But point being, they don't have to go to an opener. But what they did do is after Clayton Kershaw recorded two outs on two pitches, after Clayton Kershaw had pitched 5 2/3 solid innings, Dave Roberts walked to the mound to a cascade of boos from fans in the stadium and took the ball away from a guy who's next to Sandy Koufax, the best pitcher in franchise history. And, you know, when it's all said and done, there may be an argument that he was even better than Sandy Koufax. And why did he do that? Because the analytics said so. So why are the Tampa Bay Rays getting absolutely raked over the coals today for doing the same thing that the Los Angeles Dodgers did the day before? The two teams are not all that different. And I think analytics are a very easy target for people because sometimes they're difficult to understand and sometimes they don't jibe with what our normal thoughts are. And our normal thoughts, I use that in quotations, are what we're used to, what we've grown up with, what we've grown accustomed to in this game that doesn't tend to change very quickly. Now, analytics can get things wrong, too. But analytics also got the Tampa Bay Rays to where they are. And I think ultimately that's what Kevin Cash was doing. Kevin Cash was not sitting here and saying, Blake Snell, I have a problem with what you've done. He's sitting here and saying, I'm in game 6 of the World Series against a team that is clearly more talented than mine is. Why am I here? I'm here because I have followed the code. The code is what got us here. The code is what puts players in the best position to perform. And you know what? It was wrong to take Blake Snell out. But, Rich, do we really know if Blake Snell would have continued to be productive going on?
No,
because
I know.
The truth is, when you pitch well, it doesn't mean you're gonna. That's what we have to recognize. It's easy to sit here and second guess or to first guess this move because of what happened. But what if Nick Anderson came in and shut him down? What if Blake Snell kept giving up hits after he had given up a hit to Austin Barnes? I know these are hypotheticals. I understand that these are what-ifs. But they're not out of the realm of possibility. In fact, I think if you look at the probability of these things, it's probably pretty similar to what actually did wind up happening. So, I would have stuck with Blake Snell. Yeah, I think it was the right thing to do to stick with him. But to sit here and blame Kevin Cash and blame analytics and make them this boogeyman, I think is a disingenuous argument.
Well, I hear you, Jeff, but we here at the Rich Eisen Show have noticed, and we even have a segment every Friday, that whenever you say something that you really believe but need to say it in a certain way to believe it, it's going higher register. And you went higher register a lot right there, Jeff. You really had to go higher register.
Here's
you
the
just
thing,
went
Rich.
Really up there you, on you, that. You know?
You know that I'm capable of arguing both sides
yes.
of the point. If you can't argue both sides of the point, then there's no point in having that argument.
Jeff Passan, everybody. Well done. Hey, man, you are awesome at what you do. You're outstanding in getting information and disseminating it, not in a conversation just like this, but also writing it. Your writing is outstanding, Jeff, and I suggest everybody check out your game story from last night. And it was no wonder I wasn't surprised when I texted you this morning to come on here that you said you had not slept, that you pulled an all-nighter. That was truly remarkable writing and reporting. And I let this serve as the glass of warm milk to tuck you into bed right now, Jeff, to get some rest.
I can't wait. And thank you, Rich, for the kind words. And you're pretty good at what you do, too.
I picked up on that. Very good, Jeff. Thank you so much. Take care of yourself. Get some rest. And we'll be chatting in the next couple of days because I'm sure this story is going to keep going on, obviously. Thanks for the call, Jeff.
All right, fellas. Take care.
That's Jeff Passan of ESPN on The Rich Eisen Show. He went higher register on me, did he not?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It sounded all right.
All right, let's take a quick break. So we'll come back and touch upon a few more items in the World Series clincher for the Los Angeles Dodgers, champions of the baseball world for the first time since 1988.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Join us in a second. We'll take your calls at 844-204-RICH. Number to dial, youtube.com/RichEisen Show, where you can see all the videos, including specifically for our YouTube. Are we sending your power rankings to Peacock too? Are we doing that?
Sure.
Because, wait for it, TJ Jefferson, Howard. Chris Brockman, in case you're wondering, every Tuesday you stay after class.
Every Tuesday.
And you give us your NFL power rankings, correct?
Top five.
We do it.
And power five.
As you know, I'm constantly looking at our YouTube analytics, and let me just tell you both. It's doing pretty well.
Hey,
yeah. There's some people watching your power rankings.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm gonna keep it real. Yesterday's was a little tough to get out. We normally we're like Jay-Z, one All take. Right. Yesterday was hard.
All right. We're back here on our Rich Eisen Show radio network. We're back here. One big whole happy simulcast family. Woj bomb.
Boo.
Doc Rivers, one of our favorite people in the NBA, correct?
My coach.
Okay, your coach.
Ooh.
Who's our other favorite person in the NBA that's been on this show all the time?
Tyler Hero?
No, he's never been on this show.
Chris
Webber? On the show, Ron?
Who would you want to run the Philadelphia 76ers?
Oh, Daryl Morey.
Oh, Daryl Morey.
Woj bomb.
Oh, is that the Woj bomb?
Woj bomb.
What were you saying to me, Rick?
They are in talks to hire. Advanced talks are the words that Woj used.
Advanced talks.
Not just any talks.
No, that's just not.
They're not preliminary talks. No, advanced talks.
Advanced talks.
Really?
Yeah. How about hooking Doc Rivers up with Daryl Morey to run the Philadelphia 76ers?
Whoa.
How about Sam Hinkie, who started the process?
That's right.
Would you say, is Morey on the Hinkie tree? And I know that I railed on analytics to start this show.
Well, but I feel like Maury's the tree.
Maury's the tree, and Hinkie's the on the Maury tree.
Branch, yeah.
Regardless, looks like that's this, not a bad way to go.
What does this mean for Elton Brand?
It means that Elton Brand is expected to remain in his current position as general manager, said Woj. Daryl Morey would be the oversee the franchise's basketball operations.
Elton reports to Daryl, and Doc is the guy who coaches the players.
We are winning,
dude.
Chips. All right.
That's a good
weighted chip.
I mean, history would say that's not the case.
But. Chips with the dip.
Be careful. The Jets also won an offseason once, right?
Yeah.
Well,
where's
Jets
that banner? Won. Where's the banner?
It's with the Colts division title banner.
Very good. Woj bomb. Alex in Los Angeles, let's take your phone call here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Alex?
Hi, Rich. This is actually my first time calling into any radio show.
Wait a second.
But,
welcome, sir. Welcome.
Yeah, wanted to do it on your show because I've been following you on YouTube for a long time, but now I'm able to actually listen live because of Peacock, so pretty
fantastic.
Happy about that.
Fantastic. Like it. Welcome.
Yeah, so I wanted to just address that. You know, I know a lot is being said about Kevin Cash this morning, and maybe deservedly so, but maybe some credit should be given to Dave Roberts for, you know, actually winning the title. And really just two things that I thought he did really well. First, I thought it was a class act of him to thank people during the trophy presentation, like Rick Honeycutt and Ross Stripling. I thought there's a few other names, like a guy like Andre Ethier had been with the Dodgers for so long.
Ned Coletti, you could throw out Coletti, too. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that helped make that possible last night.
Right. And, you know, those guys went through all the heartbreaks as well. And I think it's great that Dave Roberts gave those guys credit. But also, and I think Jeff Passan kind of alluded to this earlier, but I think the move of the whole series from a managerial point of view was Roberts taking Kershaw out in game one, only 6 innings, 78 pitches. But I thought that told Kershaw, you know, pressure's not on you this year. You have help.
Yes.
And kind of got the monkey off his back.
Alex. Yes, Alex. Yes, Alex. Alex, you have made your first foray into the world of sports talk, calling in a smash success, sir. Yes, because
I
understand, again, that the Robert, and thank you for the call. Call back. You're a factor. I understand that, by the way, great point too. Robert's class act. He is as class act
Absolutely.
As they come. And he does use the binder a lot. They do the binder. He does the binder. I get it. But one of his greatest moments in the history of his baseball life was gut and feel. What did it say to steal a base in game four? Down three games to nothing.
Everyone knew you were stealing it.
Right. What does it mean? Okay. Long story short, is even that move of Kershaw in the first game, I get it. Third time through the order, there are some analytics, but it was a gut and feel move, I think. And, you know, you could sit here and go, Rich, you don't know what you're talking about. The analytics say this, and he definitely did due to analytics. But that move had a human element to it. It's not all on you, Clayton. And we know how it's happened in the past when you've been put in positions that you're not comfortable in, or you've been put in positions to stay in too damn long. That's been the story of Kershaw. Kept in too long. Also, put in positions that he's not best to succeed in, like, you know, coming out of the pen. I thought that move had some gut and feel to it, as well as whatever metrics that could have backed it up. And Kershaw rewarded the Dodgers with a second win in the World Series. That's it. Kershaw's, you know, and you could say what Passan said. You might wind up greatest lefty in history of this franchise when it's all said and done. That's saying a lot.
Saying a lot. There's a
certainly for one member of the tribe to say that to another member of the tribe about a member of the tribe. Sandy Koufax, revered in my household growing up. Revered. Up there with like FDR and Kennedy in my household growing up. Devontae Adams is going to join us coming up in hour number two. Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football as well. Jared Allen and the great Carl Weathers still rolling here on this show. Okay, we're still here on Peacock, everybody. I hope everyone on Peacock understands when I'm saying goodbye to the radio audience. I'm still sticking around for you for a good 90 seconds. A good 90 seconds. So, that's hour one. A lot of baseball talk, huh?
Oh, yeah. A lot of baseball. Well, big stuff happened yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, we always talk about the social media stuff on guys, like who they follow and unfollow.
Yes, we talked about it with Kyle Rudolph about Harrison Smith yesterday.
You know what my second favorite thing is about players and monitoring?
Yes.
Housing market.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, like Brady, is there something going on?
A significant player that has been in trade rumors has a house for sale.
Okay. Yeah. Can you make that part of your news update that's on the other side of this Peacock break, sir?
That's why I teased it right now.
Look at you teasing.
Look at Brady was sold his house and he's gone from the Patriots. So
yeah, that was a lot to do about it. It doesn't matter. He was putting it up for sale. Yeah. Now look, he's Florida man.
Yep.
I would say this matters. This one that I'm going to.
Okay. I don't even know. I haven't even seen it.
Yeah.
Don't look. And then there's a trade in the NFL. There's a trade in the NFL involving the Seattle Seahawks.
Indeed.
That's a tease. Will people just spend the next 2 minutes just looking it up and just a little?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I hope not. Just stick around. Hear from Peacock.
Davante Adams. Jared Allen, Carl Weathers, and you, 844-204-RICH. Hour number two on the other side of this break on Peacock.
With the holidays coming up, we'd like to offer you a little something special. And all we're asking in return is a few moments of your time to help support a great sponsor of this podcast. We ask that you complete a short survey because your opinion matters to us and our sponsors. It'll only take a couple minutes. And if you're one of the first people to do it, we'll give you a reward in return. Just go to podcastopinions.com and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastopinions.com. The first 150 people who complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to Amazon.com. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us. Please go to podcastopinions.com, and as always, thank you for supporting the show.